Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the AMAA Martial Arts Masters Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by the American Martial Arts Alliance, dedicated to building the awareness of professionalism in the martial arts through martial arts management and student development.
Aloha, everyone. This is Professor Gary Lee, and welcome to the AMAA Pioneers and Legends Archives Radio Show, where we feature the personal update interviews celebrating Martial Arts History Month, November 21st and December 21st. We've got some incredible people on for the holiday shows. We really appreciate you, and we want to thank you for the emails right up front that we've gotten since we started this Pioneer Show. It's kind of overwhelming to me. But I really enjoy reading them, and we'll answer them on a special segment that we'll have now into the program. We're losing an entire generation of fine black belts, men and women who laid the foundation for and developed the strongest system of martial arts in the world. And the passing of each one saddens me greatly. I really suggest you seek out and talk with as many from that generation as possible. When they pass, and they will never be the likes of them ever again. Never. And with that said, this few days ago, we lost one of the great, great men of Kempo martial arts, one of the founders that brought it over here to America, Mr. Bill Rozaki. He was known for his acting and his stunt doubles with Matt Helm and Dean Martin. He played in Kane and Kung Fu. He was an advisor on many movies, choreographer before his time. And one of the best center referees I've ever watched work. But he was knowledgeable, and he was smart, and he was fun. And he was 80 years old, and he was from that generation I just finished talking about. So with that said, I'd just like to take a few seconds and remember Bill. I know this is different, but Bill was very special to a lot of us, especially the history generals of sport karate. So 5 seconds for Bill. You want to call directly to our show, please call at 657-383-1410. And that's, again, 657-383-1410. You can listen to the show. Or at the end of the show with our special guest, you can actually talk and talk to him about what we had talked about. We have a very special event every show that the producer allows us to have, and that produces Hansi Jesse Bowen. And he allows me to give out two books. I'm sorry, when you buy two books, you get one free. And that's an incredible deal with the Who's Who in Martial Arts. You can go to Barnes & Noble now. You can go to Amazon.com and directly to our site, www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com. And you can order your book online there. But tonight, if you call during the show and you buy two books, we'll give you one free to put underneath the tree, that special someone in the martial arts. If you'd like to talk to Jesse personally, Hansi Bowen, you can call him at 919-618-8075. We have some incredible special guests coming up, and setting up for my special guest tonight, but my next guest for the holiday shows will be Mr. Andrew Finelli, great producer of the All-Pro Taekwondo Hall of Fame. Then we'll have Mr. Alan Goldberg, the super producer from the Action Martial Arts. One of the incredible interviews I'm looking forward to, Monster Man Everett Eddy, one of the great fighters from the 70s, and this really was phenomenal, and you'll really enjoy his interview. Mr. Bill Viola from Kumite Classic, the legendary Jim Buten from the Blood and Gut days, super producer Bob Liker, Mr. George Minshew will be coming up at the end of January, the founder of Century Martial Arts, Mr. Mike Dillard, pioneer kickboxer turned Hollywood, Mr. Jerry Trimble Jr., Hollywood himself, Mr. Harry Mock, and Mr. Don DeVries and Richard McClain from the Superfoot tournament that they produce every year, March 31st and April 1st this year. Well, with that said, I'd like to introduce my special guest tonight. And he's a pretty cool guy. I got to put him in as a history general a year ago at the Bill Wallace event. And he does incredible things with the service and also with children. And he's got a really, really interesting story. And I really thought it'd be a great holiday part to celebrate, to watch this man's journey and listen to this man's journey. And I'm talking about Mr. A.J. Perry from Ohio. Hey, A.J., are you on the line?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
Thank you very much. Good, doing real well. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. And I'd like to thank you and Master Bowen, you know, for all the hard work you do. And with the Sport Karate Museum, I know you put a lot of time in that, a lot of dedication, and, you know, there's a lot of people's hats off to you.
Well, you've helped me a lot this past year, and we've actually inducted quite a few people, Nate Rudyard, David J. Pram, Mr. Joe Goss, because of your influence and who you are. But that's what I'd like to do right now. I'd like to tell the listeners a little bit of who I bring on. You know, I assume everybody knows everybody. And I've learned that lesson a long time ago. That's not true, especially doing the Living Legends for 25 years. But it sure is fun getting to know everyone. So, A.J., with that said, and may I call you A.J., please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to know about your involvement in Karate in the beginning, and then you got involved with Thanks to Do, which is what you're teaching now. So kind of tell the listeners how you started and how you got involved and maybe how you ended up in Ohio.
Well, I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, and
okay.
You know, the Cleveland area, there's a lot of martial art in that area. A lot of great martial artists, you know, came from the area. There was Ohio Judo and Karate, which, you know, so many people came out of. And then, you know, Detroit was another, you know, big city for martial art. A lot of Taekwondo came out of, you know, those areas. You know, I first had my real influence or, you know, exposure to martial art. And it had to do with Bruce Lee, you know, not only the Green Hornet, but I remember watching a movie with James Garner called Marlo.
Marlo,
and James,
yeah, yeah.
Remember that? And Bruce Lee, you know, came in there as like a martial art mafia guy, and, you know, he it pretty much threatened James Garner, and then he kicked the light out that was hanging off the ceiling. And
I remember
from that time on, I knew that's what I wanted to do with martial art.
Wow, cool.
I didn't know anything about it, you know, but I knew that's what I wanted to do.
So you started in Cleveland and started in Taekwondo, or?
Well, actually, when my brother-in-law came back from Thailand, he was in the Air Force. He came back in, it was October 1970. He was telling me about, you know, some of the things he learned over there. He was taking Taekwondo there. And so he started working with me a little bit. And I don't consider that really my, how should I put it, my start in martial art. I consider my start in martial art when I first joined my instructor school in, you know, mid-70s, you know, Master Myung Won Kim, who was a tremendous martial artist. You know, I got a great start with my brother-in-law, you know, my feet wet, but, you know, he was only a brown belt at the time. And then I got a chance to, you know, train with a couple of my buddies. You know, when I was in school, you know, you were messing around in their garage and they were, you know, they were training at a school. But, you know, like I said, that wasn't my real start with my master instructor.
Did you ever train in karate or was it all Taekwondo and Taekwondo?
Well, actually, he was Taekwondo Motokwan. His instructor was Master Byung Ho Che, who eventually moved to Miami, Florida, and started a couple schools down there. And he was a very strong martial artist and big into Taekwondo. But the Taekwondo Mudokwan was just people that shifted from Taekwondo to Taekwondo. And
That's the question I wanted to ask. I want to ask you, there's so many different styles of Taekwondo. Taekwondo Mudokwan, Subak. What's the difference in those?
Well, Subakdo was Taekwondo. I forget exactly what year they switched over. It may have been like 1987, but Grandmaster Wong Ki, he went back to the original name of Subakdo, which was the traditional martial art of Korea. But originally, you know, he was Taekwondo Mudokwan. And, you know, Tangsudo Mudokwon was actually the biggest Kwan school in Korea when they formed Taekwondo. And there was approximately 80,000 Tangsudo practitioners that left Tangsudo and helped form Taekwondo. It was actually the biggest faction of Taekwondo. And
so that kind of explains the question of all the Korean styles, Tangsudo, Taekwondo, Kusawan, Hapikido, Harangdo. It all was based around Tangsudo and Taekwondo, or how they all abrupt, how they come about?
It's kind of funny, the history of it. All karate.
It's complicated. I figured you would have the answer.
Right, pre about 1922, all karate was actually Tangsudo. Then Grandmaster Gichin Funakoshi, he changed the character from Tang, okay, which was, you know, from the martial art Tangsudo. He changed the character to empty. So instead of, you know, China hand, it meant empty hand. And empty, what he meant was, that's how you train with an empty mind. And, you know, at the time, you have to really understand where Japan was coming from. You know, they were starting to imperialize, move across China. And so they didn't want a martial art that was called, had a Chinese background. It's the same thing with the Koreans after the war. They didn't want a martial art to influence their country to have a Japanese background. They wanted their own authentic martial art. And that's where they came with the name Taekwondo.
Well, that's really interesting. I know that the Korean martial arts is very complicated, but let's go a little bit to one of the things I know. The two things that you do particularly very well. One, you work with a group of course, our armed forces, and we'll talk about it in a moment. But first of all, you're a kid advocate. You know, I kind of surround myself by kid advocates too. But I know that you have a special thing with kids. How'd that come about?
Well. When I started teaching from my instructor in 1979, he started having me, you know, teach the children's class. I never was raised with any, you know, younger brothers and sisters, so it was really unfamiliar with me. And while I was teaching, you know, it just I had a lot of fun, and I saw, you know, how the martial art was helping these kids develop and mature in different ways. And, you know, that's our youth. That's the future of the martial art. And, you know, we have to pay special attention to that because, you know, a lot of times, you know, as well as I do, you know, sometimes martial artists, you know, get, you know, focused on the moment and tournaments and this and that. But, you know, the real focus is on the youth because that's our future. And that's who's going to be carrying on the martial art in the future.
Well, I know that you work really hard, and it's a special part. Now, the other thing you do that's very outstanding to what I believe is a necessity, you work with the special part of the armed forces. Tell me about that.
Well, my father was a military man. He was in World War II. He was a sniper instructor, and he saw some, you know, real heavy combat. And, you know, you're a kid growing up, you don't really understand. And you didn't even know it back then what PTSD was. And, you know, he suffered from it, but he hit it real well. And I got to know, you know, several military guys, you know, a lot of Marines. And like my big brother, I call him, you know, John Legato. You know, he's, you know, Marine from Alpha 1 in Hue City. And, you know, with getting to know these warriors, back in 2005, there was a battalion out of Brook Park, Ohio, and they were over in Iraq, and they took a real big hit, actually the biggest hit out of any battalion that was over in Iraq, and they lost 48 Marines in a two-week period.
Wow.
And it was a big devastation to the Brook Park and Northern Ohio area because, you know, a lot of the families, not all, but a lot of the families were from that area. And it was a real tragedy, you know, to the Northern Ohio area. Well, after that happened, there was some people getting together and starting to raise some money, try to help the families and the Marines. And I started doing some martial art demonstrations, you know, trying to help out. Excuse me. And I raised, I don't know, about $13,500 in a couple
good
demonstrations to help, you know, help, you know, to help the families and the Marines.
And I know Don does something with you, too. Don, you did something last year at the Bill Wallace Superfoot Tournament and the banquet. What did you do
right.
last year for the tournament?
We did a fundraiser then, and, you know, they sold raffle items and that, and it was a real nice time. You know, we had a lot of fun doing it, and,
yes, it was.
You know, went to a good cause. And what they did is they started a foundation,
right.
And it's called 3-5 Marine Foundation. And it not only helps the Marines from the battalion in Brook Park, but, you know, they'll try to help any Marine or sailor, that, you know, that's in need. You know, we try to fill in the gaps where the VA doesn't help.
Yes, sir. Well, you're going to be excited then at COD Awards and Living Legends. There's lots of Marines that come in and visit the, the Texas area.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. But you know what?
Actually, there's going to be a couple of Marines I'm bringing with us.
Do what, sir?
There's going to be a couple of Marines coming with us.
Oh, cool.
One of them is
cool.
My post black belt.
Well, that's even better.
Right.
That's even better. But I can't talk to an old-timer of Ohio karate without mentioning the incredible history that Ohio has in sport karate and tournament karate in particular. These names, people like Don Willis, Nate Calgar, Algene Carrella, Ken Ferguson. How about Huey Daniels? I don't know if you remember Huey Daniels. Ron Shaw.
I didn't. Don Willis was a great guy, you know. I remember him as, you know, being a young black belt, and even before then. And he was a great competitor, and
well,
he competed at Strategy Kids tournaments.
Day.
And I'm sorry.
He bass fishes every day now. Yeah, he's a.
Oh, you two got
guy.
A lot in common. I don't
well,
get out
yeah,
as much
do.
As you guys.
He was a PKC director, commissioner, and also the PKA commissioner too, or the director.
I remember him as the directors of that, and I used to go to the tournaments, and he was always a real personal, you know, martial artist, and you know, held himself.
He was a badass kick too. He could kick.
He was a great competitor.
Don kick. Yeah. Okay. Do you remember Nate Calgar and Ken Ferguson? And those guys?
Ken Ferguson,
older
you know, Kent State guy. Kent State
Kent
guy,
State,
you know, yeah, used to have a school over there in Lee Road. And
how about Ron
very
Shaw?
Good competitor.
Ron Shaw. Don Sword.
I didn't know him personally. I knew him, but I didn't know him personally.
How about Don Sword in the Sunday tournament?
Over there in Lakewood Judo and Karate in Detroit Avenue. And
the last
I used to go to
Sunday
those
of
as a teenager.
Month.
And
the last Sunday
actually,
of the month.
I had some. That was actually my first exposure to regular karate, you know, because back then, you know, Taekwondo, I remember walking into my instructor's office one day and, you know, I don't know, I'm 17, 18 years old. And I said, Master Kim, I said, is there karate tomorrow? He looks at me and screams at me, we know karate, we Taekwondo, you know, I never did that again. And they shunned you from going to karate tournaments. You know, they just wanted you to do Taekwondo.
Well, the neat thing about Dan Sword's tournaments in that little school, oh, that wasn't a little school, it was upstairs and downstairs, but it was brown and black belts only, and, you know, equipment was optional. It was, you probably bare knuckle with tape around your hands. But the guy that always stood out to me was two people, a little Danny Wagner, little kid from Cleveland. He was a tiny kid, but he was incredible. And then James Cook. James Cook was
Are you sure you're not thinking of Danny Marsan?
Danny
Cleveland
No, I think AAV had taught this kid named Danny Wagner. I might be wrong.
Okay.
I don't know. I was old and young at the same time back then. Now you know.
And then James
the
Cook.
Mr. Cook, yes. Great competitor. Fighter, forms competitor, you know, Chinese kung fu.
Probably the best ever came out of Cleveland.
Yes. But you mentioned Cleveland. You got to mention Algene Carrella, you know, from Hawaii, the first brown belt to win the world championship in Chicago. And,
yes, sir, from Karate Institute.
Yes, and he used to run the Four Seasons tournament, which I got to fight in a couple of those events. But, you know, here's the thing. Who was the best competitor that you ever sparred, AJ?
Hands down, Tony Blanchard.
Who's Tony Blanchard talking to?
He came from IJ Ken school.
Okay.
And I never competed with him in a tournament. Cards never came up that way. But
sure.
We sparred a lot in practice because I trained with Master IJ Kim for quite a while. And hands down, he was the best competitor I ever sparred. Just tremendous footwork, fast, and just he had insight. And he could see where you're going to move.
Yeah,
and
that's
very,
that's
very
a,
good
that's
competitor.
A good thing to have. Well, who are some of the older gentlemen that have influenced you in your career?
Actually, there were several. Besides my instructor, that is.
This is a holiday show, brother. Share how you feel.
I'm in the Bronx, New York. Just one tremendous martial artist. Not only well-rounded, just flexible, could move, but he had style. He was just one heck of a martial artist. I remember I was about 20 years old, and we went to compete in regionals down in Miami, Florida, Mastrobiono Chase for Taekwondo, and it was the qualifier for Nationals. And I sparred down there. I got second place and qualified for Nationals, and then I helped my instructor do a demonstration. And before my instructor did his demonstration, Tiger Kim did his demonstration. And at the time, he was 53 years old. He was cut like a 20-year-old. Plus, you know, he did a triple kick. You know, it was head high. As good as any, you know, young kid could do it. It was just amazing. And that always stayed in my mind. And how that influenced me was, that's the kind of martial artist I want to be. You know,
well,
I want to stay in shape.
I want to go into, I got one more question to ask you that deals with that before I go into my middle break, and that is the spectacular demonstrations that you do, the pails of water, the spinning heel kick on the glass. I want to talk about that for a moment. I know that Tiger Kim, he was an influence, but talk to the listeners of some of the spectacular demos that you perform and the things that you've seen, maybe.
Well, I appreciate that, you know, very much, sir.
Well,
Tiger Kim and then Master C.S. Kim and Master Bialon Kim were the biggest influences. And, you know, what they taught me is that always try to extend your limits. And, you know, if you go to a tournament, you're competing against somebody else, which is great. But if you compete with yourself, you always have somebody else to compete with. You always have somebody to compete with. And, you know, you do a demonstration, you start getting it down, and, you know, it influences young martial artists on what you can obtain in martial art. Then you try to extend yourself some more and compete with yourself and keep
trying to extend
yourself.
I asked Danny McCall when he walks on fire and puts arrows through his throat, when you put glass down on the surface that you're standing on barefooted and you literally do a rotation of your body, spinning wheel kick, break the board or whatever, how do you not cut yourself, AJ? I mean,
well,
that's the magic question.
I'm not going to say that, you know, I put Tang Su dust on my head and go walla, 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 and it's not going to happen.
Okay.
As martial artists, we're on our feet all the time, and our feet get pretty tough.
Sure.
Like I said, I've been nicked before, but, you know, from teaching, you know, for how many years, you know, your feet get pretty tough, and, you know, that helps prevent it.
But that doesn't – do you put the nails in your arms too, that thing?
Those are motorcycle spokes.
Well, that's
worse. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's even
worse. It goes through the arms. I've done it through my neck. And
how do you not bleed?
Well, I don't take baby aspirin. There's things you just shut off in martial art. You know,
I don't know if you know, but Dominique Jacoby, am I saying his last name right?
He's my big brother. I love Dominic. He's a great guy.
I saw him do something in Pennsylvania one time. It just blew me away. You know, yeah, he's one of the first guys I contacted when we did the Sport Karate Museum thing. And I wish
great
him all
guy.
The best.
This very beginning of August. And prayers went out to his family and Dominic, and he's okay. The tough guy. He rode
yeah.
him, his pickup truck rode pull out right in front of him, and he put his bike down. But his girlfriend Angela, she rode Dominic right into the side of the truck, and he went face first in the truck, broke his neck.
Oh wow!
Thank God Dominic's okay, but he was pretty sore for a while. And but you know, like I said, you know, thank God he's okay.
Hey, I got one more question to ask you about Subak and Tang Sudo. Now, I know that the Subak, they wear the dark blue belts, not the white belts. What's the deal with that?
Traditionally in Korea, they always wore a midnight blue belt. And the reason they wore that is because, you know, black kind of signifies the end. And that's a little bit of a bad omen in Korea, actually. But midnight blue is actually more of a good omen in Korea. And it signifies in martial art where the blue can always get darker, and that signifies where you can always gain more knowledge.
Good answer.
That's why they.
I always wanted that question. Yeah, I always wondered why it was just a different color. And good, thank you for the answer. With that said,
yes, sir.
I'm going to go through my my break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to do the Legends Name Game, which I'm looking forward to, and then ask the yin yang question of the night, and. So stay with me, and we do the email. I might ask your opinion on a couple of these, because this tonight's email deals with something that you might be able to put your two cents in. Okay, so
yes,
I'll
sir.
Be back in just a moment.
Yes, sir.
All right, AJ. Hey guys, I just want to share with you some of the things that are up and coming. We got the Superfoot tournament coming up in Cleveland, Ohio, March the 31st, April 1st. Producers are Don DeVries and Richard McClain, two super producers who took on the privilege and the honor to honor one of the greatest kickers that ever lived, Mr. Bill Wallace. They're old school, and it has the endorsement of Mr. Wallace. We went there last year, and we this year we'll be a part of it with the History Generals and the Ambassadors nominations. And, of course, the tournament will be going on. We're also going to be taking the Grand Champion of that tournament, and it'll be coming down to Houston to go for the National Black Belt Kata Championship. We also have the MGM Super Show. We'll have the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book signing in Las Vegas at the MGM. This is the Pioneers and Legends booth featuring Hanchi Jesse Bowen, Mr. Jim Buten, Mr. Jim Butcher, and I found a completely incredible relic, Mr. Jimmy Tabarez, the first 1980 World Point Karate Champion by Karate Illustrated. And that'll be July the 6th and the 8th in Las Vegas. We will have a book signing there, The Who's Who, and also a Memoirs of an American Samurai, and Jim Buten's Blood and Guts Sport Karate Tales of His Personal Adventures book. We also have the Kempo Hall of Fame of the Gathering Eagles, August 11th, the 12th, and 13th in Dallas, Texas. Producer is Dr. Nick Chamberlain with the blessing of Grandmaster Al Tracy. This is an event that's going to bring Taiji Kempo, Kempo, Chinese Kempo, various styles, Lua Lua, of Kempo together to honor what Kempo has done for America. Kempo doesn't just belong to one father, but belongs to everyone who's trained in Kempo, and this event does that. It's going to bring people together that maybe have never seen each other ever or haven't seen each other in many years. The blessing on the Gathering of Eagles and the Kempo Hall of Fame. September the 29th and the 30th, producers Darlene McPherson-Pagels and the Sport Karate Museum Archives will present Kata Wars. This is going to be a unique event. Using tournaments throughout the nation, their grand champions, we're going to invite them to come the Kata Wars, September the 29th and 30th, to establish a National Black Belt Kata Championship. All the grand champions from these tournaments are invited to come down and to have a shootout. The museum will take care of the entry fees, so we just need for you to show up. or the AMAA Nationals, produced by Mr. Jesse Bowen. The Ocean State, produced by Mrs. Christine Bannon Rodriguez and Don Rodriguez. Tumate Classic, Mr. Bill Biola. The Dixieland Nationals, Dewey Earwood. The Empire State Nationals, Willie Arlen. The Battle of Atlanta, the Root Family. The Diamond Nationals, John Worley, Pat Worley, and Mr. Larry Conahan. Their grand champion will be invited. The Jamal Nationals, E. Crash Petway, and Jason Holmes, producer. The Bill Wallace Superfoot Tournament, Don DeVries and Richard McClain, producers. Capital Classic, Chipu Dennis Brown. Ending up with the Louisiana Pro-Am, Pee Wee Blanco. Amerikit with Bob Liker. The Grand Slam Nationals with Jeff Doss. And the Long Beach International with Steve Cooper and Neil Harden. Along with that will be 8 chosen black belts from the Sport Karate Museum archives. Grand champions, people who won first places throughout the years and never competed against age, gender, styles, or sanctions or tournament circuits will be brought to Houston September the 29th for Kata Wars. Well, we're going to go to our email. And our first question tonight comes from Sanford, Florida, from Harry. And he says, my choice of karate schools, one is Kung Fu, one is Taekwondo, one is MMA. Which one do I choose? Well, AJ, do you hear that question?
I do.
Well, how would you answer that?
I don't consider MMA a martial art, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
Because martial art, if you look at the kanji symbol, mudo, it means peacemaker. And that's not what MMA is about. You know, there's a lot of good athletes, you know, a lot of good, if you want to say technicians that are involved.
You've got jiu-jitsu, which is a martial art.
Right. And there's judo, judo, jiu-jitsu. But I don't consider MMA martial art, to be honest with you. Because martial art is about avoiding conflict. If you want martial art, Kung Fu or Taekwondo.
Okay, so you would just tell the guy to go in and to choose, or you would give him some insight?
Excuse me? It depends what you want to do. If you want to make just a fighter, then just go MMA. But, if you want the full realm of martial art, then you go to a martial arts school. That's
good
my
answer.
Opinion,
Well, I agree with your opinion, all except for the fact that MMA is not a martial art, but we'll go on that to another show. Okay, from Edison, Vermont, from Andrew, he asks, the Qs and – oh, this is going to be a good one for you. The Qs and the Dons, what is the difference? How did it start? Do you remember dyeing the belts, Professor Gary Lee? You couldn't buy them anywhere at any store. 10th Q to first Don Shodan. Explain. I'm totally confused. Well, I do remember when you dyed the belt. I remember when you had dyeing parties, when guys would test, brutal tests, whether you came back from the hospital or the emergency clinic or you come back from getting bandaged up. You'd end up at the house with probably spaghetti, macaroni and cheese or chili, and there'd be these pots that'd be dyeing colors, green color, brown color, to be dyed the belts. The only belt that wouldn't be dyed, of course, would be a black belt, and that would be handed down. Well, then someone got smart and started selling belts, and they sold belts to wholesale and to the schools and so forth. But to answer your question very simply, I won't blame the Koreans, but I blame whoever decided to make 10th Q first boy, the 9th boy, the 8th boy, the 7th boy, the 6th boy, the 5th boy, the 4th boy, then 3rd, 2nd, 1st Q, the first boy, and then to make Shodan, and that be first man, then Nidan, second man, Sandan, third man. So you reversed it, and a lot of people took advantage of that, and they would do test fees for each individual Q grade, and it's through the years it's changed so much, but
I think it's been a development, Professor Lee. I think it's been a development through time, where originally it was everybody was a white belt, and then you reached a certain level of proficiency, and they hand you a black belt, and then it developed through time, because, you know, Gichin Funakoshi, he was an educator. And, you know, because of that education process, that, you know, they had different levels. And I believe,
well,
you know,
beginning,
it really kind of came through.
It was beginning, intermediate, advanced, then black. And there was no Q grades. There was just those four different colors. And in the very beginning, I was told in Hawaii that it was a belt to hold the loose pants up, and it turned black over years of being in the mud, the dirt, and the grit and the grind and what they went through. Whether whatever story it was, that's a story that I stay in my head, and I want to believe that had happened. But to answer the question to the gentleman, I'm simply going to say that it's a complicated situation, but that's the best way that I can explain it, that nowadays they go from 10th Q to 1st Q, and then they reverse it. Of course, who would expect it 30 years ago if I was bringing up to some of my friends that are no longer here that there'd be 10th degree black belts and guys walking around saying they're even 15th degree black belts? They'd be very upset at me. But that's what's going on in America today. And I'm lucky to be a black belt. I'm honored to be a Shodan. So, with that said, go ahead.
Professor Lee, Dale Drouillard, Grandmaster Drouillard, he's number one senior American in Korean martial art. And he received his black belt in 1956. He was the first American that was ever allowed to train in Muay Thai. And he was the Koreans considered him as a test because they didn't think the Americans could learn, you know, Kangsudo. And Grandmaster Wong Ki took Master Drouillard, well, now Master Grandmaster Drouillard, but Dale Drouillard under his wing as a test to see if he could, you know, learn the martial art. Well, they found out that, you know, Master Drouillard was a phenomenal student. And he's the one that was instrumental in bringing Kangsudo and Korean martial art to the United States back in the late 50s. And he just received his 10th degree black belt last year.
From the Koreans?
From the Koreans.
Wow.
And usually, you know, from what I've seen in the past, you know, they'll throw the 10th degree black belt in your coffin as they're closing it. They'll throw it in like a roofing shingle. But he's definitely earned it. And he's a true 10th degree black belt. That from Grandmaster Kamuk Lee, you know, from the UK. And
a 10th belt. You understand that, you still has to be where you got it from and who gave it to you. Now, the Koreans doing that for him, that's a big deal. That's a big, big deal. Very big. And what I'm saying is that in today's society, in the martial arts in America, you've got incredible people that are receiving their 10th dons. I'll give you an example. One of the greatest fighters I've ever seen fight and got to know him personally, and he's the founder of the BKC, is Mr. Glenn Keeney. He is the oldest school I know, and he doesn't give anything away. He just promoted Jeff Smith, Mr. Joe Corey, to their 10th dons. Now, that to me is not only respectful, that's amazing for him to do because I know where he comes from. So that's what I'm talking about. If you know where it came from and the lineage, that's a totally different thing. But the people who are self-proclaiming themselves and haven't really put in the tenure or didn't have the authority to recognize the don rank that is as high as what is a 10th don, then that's the people that I don't understand. And I just don't really deal with them very well. Like I said, I believe that America always surrounds itself by the best, and I believe America will continue to do that. And if America believes that the highest don that you can receive the highest respect for, and that people are going to look at you as being someone who is knowledgeable and deserving, then you deserve that 10th don, and God bless you, wear it. And wear it with the attitude that you've earned it. Like I said, it's a total show by itself. But we're going to talk about the Legends name game right now. AJ, this is more fun.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to shoot a name to you, and you got a paragraph for, say, 30 seconds to tell me what you think about. I might throw in my two cents. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, first one. Don DeVries.
Great guy. You know, Don DeVries and Rick McLean, they do an awesome job with the Superfoot World Championships, and I encourage Petter to go to compete in that. It's a great event. It's not only well-organized, but it's just a classy event, and I would encourage any student to go compete there. Don is a good martial artist. He runs probably one of the cleanest schools in Cleveland, just very attentive martial artist, very positive in the way he handles his students, just a great guy.
Well, you know, Don and I, we go back almost 30 years, and he was one of the, I think, great judges of that era, and back when I was competing, and we became friends in all those meetings, and I'm really honored to be a part of the Superfoot tournament, and the next person was Richard McLean, but you covered him, and Rich is one of these great producers. I know that
he's been involved
with,
you know,
very impressed.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
No, he's been involved with, you know, Mr. Wallace for, you know, a number of years.
Yes.
He's, you know, put his tournaments on, and just a class act.
Well, I was at the TAS this year's event where they had Bill test the people for black, and, you know, like I said, Don runs a beautiful school, and I'm just really excited that they're going to be a part of a Superfoot tournament and building to an event everyone's going to look forward to. Okay, so we covered Richard and Don. Let's go to Joe Goss. Come on, listen to Joe Goss.
My big brother. He's probably, he's a Dojang rat.
Okay.
He's an unknown. An unknown.
He's a history general,
though.
How should
I say? A history general. But
yes, he is.
They would, he was probably one of the most knowledgeable martial artists I know. Every time I've been with him, the first time I met him, I was 17, and he was a second-degree black belt at the time. There wasn't a whole lot of real second-degree black belts back at that
time. What year was that?
1978. And there wasn't a lot of second-degree black belts. He just tested for third. You know, there was a few. There was, you know, Chuck Norris, you know, David Prem.
Sure.
You know, Dale Drulier. There was some of the real seniors, Lynn Jackson. But other than that, just, you know, the Americans, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, second, third degree black belts. And,
well, the next guy, you just mentioned his name, but Mr. David J. Prem, probably one of the greatest coaches that ever was produced in America. How do you feel about David?
He's just a great, great person. Very positive when it comes to development of students. Probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest martial art coaches ever. Phenomenal.
Well, hey,
a lot of insight.
Macho Man Ever Eddy, Johnny Smiley Lee, Rob Hogan.
That's all the people that came from him.
Howard Jackson.
Well, another Everett Eddy, who you're going to have on your Macho Man Eddy, who you're going to have on your show. You know, just he developed these guys. It's amazing how many guys from that small area that he developed to be champions.
They weren't just great fighters. They were fighters that went worldwide. When Johnny and Monster Man fought Antonio.
In Japan.
Yeah, that oddball, he was 6'6" or something, man. He was huge. And I got pictures of that fight. That's really cool. David J. Prem.
These guys I looked up to, you know, when I was coming up the ranks.
Sure. Okay, how about Danny Lane, my buddy and your buddy and one of the great martial artists of America, Danny Lane. I know that you brought him in for a seminar.
You know, it's funny.
Here.
Just a really good guy, you know. He had two Purple Hearts in Vietnam, Marine, you know, guy, you know. he and I have very similar backgrounds. You know, Chuck Norris, who was his instructor, my instructor in Tang Soo, Master C.S. Kim, taught at Osan Air Force Base, and that's where, you know, Chuck Norris came up through. And so we're kind of like brothers in martial art. And just
you know what,
a class
really
act.
I think his seminars are really incredible. I like listening to him teach. He's very intricate, and he's very subtle, and he doesn't raise his voice. I mean, people of his danger attitude, they don't have to raise their voice, but he's a really good instructor. Yeah.
He actually did a seminar at my school back in mid-October or beginning of October, and we had a great time. You know, students loved it, and, you know, he came up, did a seminar, and you just had a really nice time.
Yeah, he's a great guy. How about Lisa Kozak? I haven't heard that name
Kozak.
In a long time. Yes.
She was a Black Belt Magazine Women's Competitor of the Year, I believe it was 1987.
Yes.
Just another unknown, another Dojung rat.
Not too much of a
unknown.
She's been Black Belt, yeah.
Just
yeah,
a
I remember.
Great, great competitor, good instructor.
How about Joe Bruno?
Joe, you know, when we were younger, everybody thought we were brothers because we looked so much alike. And just a true champion. Joe has won so many tournaments, not only sparring, but in forms.
Was he Korean?
But just
Korean
style. He's Tang Sido like me. You know, we both were with Master CS Kim for years. And a true competitor, but a great, great instructor.
How about John Kritsos?
John Kritsos. Another, he was Taekwondo. He came up, Taekwondo with the Kim Studio in Washington. And he taught at Annapolis for years and years. He still does.
Oh, he taught Navy. Cool.
Those Navy guys over there, if you saw the Navy team that he teaches, it's just impeccable. They're like the Marine Honor Guard, the way he teaches. Just incredible group of guys.
How about Gary Yano? I know he does something special, a Hall of Fame. Tell me about that.
Well, he does that International Karate Hall of Fame. He's been doing that for a number of years. And Gary is just a really nice guy. He's been involved in martial art in the Cleveland area for years and years. Started his training with Munku Beck and just with Tang Sido originally. And then, started teaching Taekwondo, but just a very formidable martial artist in the Cleveland area.
Well, I got two more for you. Tony Blanchard.
Best guy I ever sparred. Phenomenal martial artist. Nice guy. Nice guy, but just
technique?
A phenomenal martial artist.
What was his best technique?
His footwork. His footwork was phenomenal. You know, Muhammad Ali would say, fight like a butterfly, sting like a bee. But his footwork was phenomenal, the way he would just glide around on the mat. And not just his feet, but he had great hands. He had great hands. The way he would move and just apply his hand techniques, just phenomenal.
Well,
I love sparring in class.
Was he taller than you, or was he short like you were?
He was. No, he was taller than me.
Yeah.
I would love sparring him. I'd learn so much. And
did you fight bigger people, taller people?
Well, I'm not a real big guy. I'm 5'9 and a half, 5'10. And, that's not real tall. But, Tony was a couple inches taller than me.
What's your favorite
Depends on who I'm sparring, but I love wheel kicks.
Wheel kicks. Okay.
I love wheel kicks. I like doing the hands and everything, but I like kicking.
Yeah, you do.
And that's one thing.
Korean wheel kick where the leg is straight.
Well, what I would like. No, I chamber.
Okay.
But one thing about my instructor, his forte was judo, and in order to, get a black belt in Taekwondo, you had to take judo. And so we would mix in judo with Taekwondo, so you got a pretty well-rounded version of martial art. You get in close, you learn how to sweep and throw, and not only using your hands. And Master Kim was just, phenomenal martial artist. And if I can share a little story about Master Kim.
Of course. This
is
your show.
His
hey, wait a minute, before you tell that story. Can I say something to you?
Sure.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year, my friend. Happy New Year, my friend. Now tell me your story.
He had a terrible car accident back in the mid '80s, and head-on collision. You know, lost his eye, had brain damage, and he died. You know, a few years later, as a result, basically of the car accident. But what happened one night? I was not teaching one night, real nice May night. I was out riding a bike, and I was in Rocky River, Ohio, by this park. And I just stopped there, you know, by this, like, little cliff overlooking this park. And there's, like, this little concrete pier that, you know, came out about 50 yards. And I just sitting there, and all of a sudden I see this guy walking on the pier. And all I could see was a silhouette because the sun was just setting. And he struts out there. There's actually marches out there like a toy soldier. And he's carrying bagpipes. He gets to the end of the pier. He plays a full rendition of Amazing Grace. He does an about face, like a little toy soldier. Marches off the pier. And not 30 seconds later, I got a phone call on my cell phone that my instructor died. It was surreal. And that, just a little story about my instructor. And,
well, that's very special. Yeah. I love it. And that's what made Mark, that's what makes the charge very special to everyone.
You have to remember our past.
Yes, remember the past. Yes, and that's why we're celebrating Martial Arts History Month between November 21st and December 21st. And we ask that you email one of the old-timers, maybe someone you haven't talked to in a while, maybe an old judge that used to judge you when you used to compete. Find out their phone number. Give them a call. The Internet is really special. You can pretty much find anybody nowadays. And we need to honor those guys. And I love that story, AJ. I'm glad you shared that with us. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is sharing. And that's what this program is about.
Can I share one more thing with you, Professor?
Of course. Of course.
Chuck Steppen. Chuck Steppen, who you wrote for Taekwondo Times for years, he has probably visited more martial arts schools in the world more than anybody. Phenomenal. He's like there's a history general right there. That guy knows more about martial arts studios than probably anybody I know. So, amazing man as far as history.
Well, you got to introduce me to him. You've been a great middleman by introducing Nate Drouillard, David J. Pram, and Joe Goss to the Sport Karate Museum archives and creating them history generals. We're very honored to have them. You know, we're very simple, protecting the history one warrior at a time. Every warrior is important, and we are warriors. We are warriors because we lay it on the ground. And you can go more to going to www.sportkaratemuseum.org. Just read the first page. You'll understand the mission statement of the idea of the museum archives, to honor the pioneers and legends, and celebrate their history and celebrate their lives. And, AJ, we really appreciate you taking time and talking to us tonight. But I have a Korean story I've been saving for you, and I wanted to share it with you. It's my favorite Korean story. Can I share it with you, please?
Yes, sir.
And it happened in Ohio, by the way. And I don't remember what city it was. I just remember crossing a long bridge and going into this beautiful Taekwondo school. The first thing I picked up was that it was all Korean masters that were sitting on the board, and there was one other Japanese man named Tanaka, and there was me. And they had Makuhara lined up in front of where the people were sitting, and there was probably about eight of them. And there were the old-fashioned Makuhara. It was really blowing me away in a Korean school and had a Makuhara board, but they put the screws in the board so it made a poing, poing, you know, like a spring-loaded thing. Right. It was really cool. And I hit it a couple times, and it was really hard. So anyway, I persuaded him eventually to go sit by Tanaka, and we became dear friends for that few hours we sat and watched this black belt test of these Koreans, and he would pinch me, and you know that's what Japanese people do. They pinch you. But right before they broke for lunch, he walks over to one of the boards, and he looks at it, and he goes, "Oh, very weak. Very weak." And I go, "Well, hit it. Hit it. Show me how weak it is." And he got in a real low horse stance, the kibidachi, drew that right fist back, and it was so fast and so quick, I didn't even see it hit. I heard it go whack. And when he hit it, all of a sudden the board went boom, 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 boom. He hit it so hard, he broke the spring. Now, he looked like you could see him. He's a little tiny 5'4 Japanese man. He goes, no, we don't tell nobody. Let's go lunch. And we leave. We come back. And he said, don't tell nobody, Gary-san. Gary-san, don't tell nobody, Gary-san. So we're sitting down, and they're doing the test. And this black belt, big tough guy, big guy, right? He gets in front of the board, and they're all lined up in front of it. And everyone draws back. Boom, they hit it. Well, he hits it, and he hits it, and then it's broken. And he tells the instructor, the master instructor, he hit it so hard, he broke it. And they made a big deal out of it. This soon-to-be black belt was so powerful, they hit it so hard, he broke the McAware board with his punch. And you know, Tanaka didn't say anything, and it was a secret that we kept. But that was the Koreans.
That's
at
a great
that time,
story.
I was friendly with everybody. You know, I just have black belt will travel. And particularly, I didn't mention this man, and I don't know if you knew him or not, but he became a good friend of mine. His name is George Anderson. From Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
Not from Cleveland,
yes,
from
Kwamukan. Came up through IJ Kim.
Yes, he was from Akron.
He trained
Akron.
With IJ Kim.
You know, I got to mention the three. There were the three Musketeers. My instructor, Sid Campbell, who we lost, Barry Moyer, who's gone now too, and of course, Mr. Anderson, who's gone. Those three were instrumental for sport karate in America. Mr. Anderson, I hitchhiked, literally walked into school one day. It was pouring down rain. He fed me, let me take a shower, beat me up really good, kicked me in the head, and I didn't see him till 1992, I think. It was at the Nationals in Dallas, and he sent an over an ookie, and he said, "Mr. Anderson, I'd like to ask you a question." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Come over here." So I walked over there, and Mr. Anderson said, "Are you the young man who used to have long hair that was hitchhiking in Akron back in the 70s? And I said, "Yes, sir, I was." And after that, before we passed, we became pretty dear friends again. And it was really neat that he remembered. You know, Ohio is a great memory for me, AJ.
Yes, sir.
You know, except the cold. I hated the cold. You know, Canton, Ohio. I hated they shut down the city. It would be so cold.
Yes, Tamper.
And, yeah, Andrew Tamper, Ray Skillerman, Al Hippert, those great martial artists from that era, and Randy Kaufman, who still teaches out of there. Ohio had some great, great karate people and great memories for me, and I'm so glad I got to talk to you. I'm so glad that we got to share. And
thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, yeah, you bet. And we're going to go now maybe to Jesse in a few minutes. But before I do, I just want to say, everybody, thank you again for the emails and for the response you've had to the show. And keep supporting what Mr. Bowling's doing because, you know, this is how we get people like AJ on the show and other people in the future because of your support. We appreciate it so much. And we want you to know that you listening, taking the time from your busy schedule and listening to Sport Martial Arts, it's a big deal. And you'll understand that when you go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org and just, again, read the first page. I hope everybody has a super holiday, and we're not really closing the show out. We're going to go to the phone lines now. If you'd like to call in, it'd be 657-383-1410. If you'd like to ask AJ a question, or if we don't have anybody online, we can talk about a couple more subjects. But Mr. Bowen, Auntie Bowen, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How are you, sir? Happy holidays to you, and Merry Christmas.
Hey, same to you, sir. Great show tonight. Another great show.
Yes, it was. Yes, AJ is very informative, and Korean martial arts is very complicated. When I studied Korean martial arts, I was with Judge George Minshew, which you're interviewing, but it was Taekwondo. It was under Jun Ri and the influence of Alice Dean, but it was Taekwondo. So it wasn't the traditional Taekwondo that Mr. Perry talked about tonight, but it was sure interesting talking about the different things that he talked about. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
appreciate
we actually have some callers.
Really appreciate
being
part of
the show tonight. And so the lines are actually open, so this is a great time. Really, the show is about interacting with other martial artists that we're learning, from, and getting their input. So, everyone, the lines are open. If you like to ask a question, make a comment, or anything, all the lines are now open for you to do that.
Do you have anybody on the line? Hello?
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty shy on you tonight, sir.
Well, that's good. I like it. It gives me more time to talk. Now, you've got some book signings coming up. Name some of those book signings that you're going to be doing here pretty soon. We talked about it a little earlier. Let's tell the listeners and they can see some of these incredible people.
Yeah, it's really been so incredible. When we started on this project back here, in September, we didn't realize that it would grow to what it's actually grown to. So I'm up in the D.C. area for a book signing. I'm up in New Jersey for a book signing. And again, the book is not about me. Grandmaster Dennis Brown's got a book signing going on. Grandmaster Joe Corley has a book signing going on. There's quite a few. John Chung is doing a book signing. Michael Dietrich is doing a book signing. So we really created something that's the book is not about me. I mean, it's a little bit of information about me. And this wasn't designed to be about me, but it's really designed to be about everyone that's in the book. So everyone that's in the book, they have an opportunity to share their story with their students. It's designed to be a marketing tool. We had our kids, when I did my book sign, one of the book signs at my school, they brought their teachers in to meet their karate instructor. And this is what it's designed to do, is open up the community so everyone knows that what we have is a profession. We're very honorable people. And so this is what the book has actually done. And, we're getting ready to start for 2017 of making nominations.
I want to mention that two things. I want to mention that we can start our nominations now. Get in touch with you. And the number to call you directly, if you do have a nomination, is 919-618-8075. The other thing I'd like to mention that is very clear, and I love this from the very beginning, when Mr. Corley and Mr. Smith and you actually got me involved, there is no charge for anything for them to send their information in and their pictures. We just simply put a group, and they go over it, and they fine-tune it, and it's put in the book. So it's not about charging the person to be in the book. We want everyone to participate. And the other thing that I'd like to mention that we talked about, we're going to actually do a children's in the martial arts book to honor some of the kids that have worked their way up and are still young people. As AJ said, they're our future. We protect them. We nourish them. And that's an incredible idea. Mr. Bowen, talk about that a little bit.
Well, some of the things that, there are just so many concepts and ideas that we've developed from this. We have, our adults, our black belts, and then we have the upcoming kids that are involved in the martial arts. We're starting a new company, which is a publishing company, just to focus on helping martial artists either create their martial arts training manuals or helping them to do their autobiographies. So, you know, we've been really working on mastering this thing, not just about, you know, being published in the martial arts, but how to create a successful book and how to promote a successful book, how to promote a successful event, and, you know, just so many things. We have Kata Wars coming up. A great event, hopefully I can announce next week, that we're going to be a part of. And that event, by doing that event, we'll be a part of making history in the martial arts. So, you know, there's just so many, we're really just blessed, you know, for Professor Gary Lee, you know, yourself and the things that we've done and the connections and the people that we've met. And we want everybody to know on the call that, or that's listening to our show, that we're really trying to do something totally different to make the martial arts, our art, our profession, to take it to the next level, and finding people that want to be successful.
Punchy Bowen, one thing that I know that this show's about is that we're very appreciative of everyone who listens and the people involved that help make it happen as a group. Your event last year, by bringing the people you did together, really set the standard for what we're going to do every year with that, and to honor that group. I also believe that it's time. It's 2017. It's time not only to honor the people who set the standard and set the precedence for all of us, but to put it out there in the forelight. Who did it? Where did it come from? And talk about their history. I know you got Mr. Dillman coming up pretty soon. What an incredible martial artist. And I got Andrew Finelli our next show, the end of the holiday show. And, you know, he just produced one of the largest martial art events ever with the All-Pro Taekwondo Hall of Fame. And I'm going to ask AJ right now the last question of the night. And I do this with my guests. It's the magic yin-yang question, we call it. You know, are you familiar with yin and yang?
Walla, 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 walla.
Wusa, wusa, wusa. Well, it's two scenarios, okay? First scenario, you're in your dojo. You're minding your own business. You might be working out. You're in the uniform, of course. You got your black belt on. Gentleman comes in. He bows. He must have some type of training. Took off his shoes. Asked permission to walk on the floor. Walks up to you and says, I heard that you do martial arts here, and I really would like to train with you. How would you answer that question, and how would you get him involved?
That's a great question. You know, if he went through that process, you know, he's had some kind of background. So I would just, you know, sit down and talk with him, ask him his background, and ask him what his goals are, if he has any, and, you know, try to get to know him a little bit better. And, you know, because you build that one-on-one rapport with a student, and, you know, a lot of things, good things happen that way.
Good. Now, here's the yang part. Same scenario. You're in uniform, you're in your dojo, you got your black belt on, uniform, you're working out, you're there by yourself. Guy walks in, it's been raining outside, he's got shoes on, mud everywhere, doesn't bow, walks right on the floor with shoes on, mud on his feet, to you and says this, hey, you, are you a black belt? Hey, man, I heard you fight here. I want to learn how to fight. You teach how to fight? Hey, man, I want to learn how to fight. How do you answer that guy?
Same thing. Young man, come over here. Come over here. Can you put your shoes over here? You know, I'll answer any question you want. Come on, sit down, and we'll talk.
Well, that's a very passive way to handle both situations. And with that said, God bless you, AJ Perry, for being here tonight and being part of the AMMA Pioneers and Legends show. I want to wish everybody a happy holiday. We'll see you after Christmas on the 27th, and I want everyone to know that have a blessed and Merry Christmas, and I have something as a closing out tonight. I hope you enjoy it. With that said, I hope everybody...
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, the opportunity is this. I had a little poem that I was actually going to do to Hachi Bowen and to you, and I misplaced it. Oh, goodness gracious. The power of radio. Well, I tell you what, that's why I've got a great producer like Jesse Bowen. Mr. Bowen, would you like to say anything in closing and wishing the listeners a happy holiday?
Well, everyone, I sure would. And again, we'd like to thank everyone. Now, coming up on Thursday, I'm going to be doing a special interview with Grandmaster George Dillman. And this is going to be a great interview. A very powerful man, a very respected man who's done a great deal for the martial arts and his teaching and his knowledge. And he's still wide open. So everyone be checking out the show on Thursday for us to do that. And remember, the holidays are coming up. And, you know, Christmas is that time of not just getting a gift. It's about giving some love. It's about, you know, calling someone up. It's about sharing, you know, and that's what Christ was about. It was about sharing. It was about love, love first. And the more that you love people, the more that you love something that makes the world a better place, it makes you a better person. So I just want to say, you know, everyone, if you happen to miss my show on this upcoming week, so just remember to, you know, have a great holiday.
You also, sir.
Yes.
Yes.